Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Hi there, and thanks for tuning in to the Belfast City Vineyard podcast. In addition to our standard Sunday sermon, we have got for you a special treat. Today we're going to be sharing a couple of vineyard songs that were very dear to our heart here in Belfast, All Things Rise and Faithful One, and our worship team have put together an arrangement for you. We hope you enjoy.
May rise. once sown. In weakness, you raise in promise. Your beauty arches above it all. All things once sown in weakness, you raise in promise. Your beauty arches above.
Good morning, Belfast City Vineyard, friends and family. How are you? How are you coping with lockdown? I would give anything to be in Fleming Fulton this morning. I'm even missing that giant emoji. Yes, for those of you that have joined us since we've gone online, there is a giant emoji on the back wall of the school that we meet in. And when we are in Fleming Fulton, it drives me mad. But I actually really miss it, and I miss all of you. Well, I don't know how lockdown is going for all of you. In our house, we have played Cluedo and Monopoly and every game to the point where we couldn't play any more games. And so I decided it was time to do a family movie night. The problem is, in our house, none of us can agree on a movie to watch together. And so it was a bit of a tall order, but maybe it was 6-7 weeks of lockdown had finally worn us down, and we managed to agree on a film. And we decided to watch Lord of the Rings. What an epic story! There are so many things that I love about Lord of the Rings. One of the things that I love is the friendship between Frodo and Samwise Gamgee. I think everybody longs for a friend like Sam. For those of you that aren't familiar with Lord of the Rings, Frodo is on a mission to deliver a powerful ring to a very scary place called Mordor. The heavy weight and the responsibility of carrying this ring grows heavier and heavier on Frodo the closer that they get to Mordor. But thankfully, Frodo has Sam, his fiercely loyal friend who refuses to leave his side. Sam's devotion to his friend is incredibly moving. There are so many moments on their harrowing journey that Sam speaks courage over Frodo. One of my favorite lines, Sam says, "Come, Mr. Frodo, I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you." Isn't that so stunning? I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you. Isn't that the picture of true friendship and community? This morning, we're going to talk about friendship. Of all the times to talk about friendship, many of us have a deep ache in our hearts to be with the people that we love. We miss our friends, we miss our families, and the longer that this goes on, the harder it gets. Absence really does make the heart grow fonder. I was wiping our kitchen table the other day and was just overcome with emotion. I felt so sad knowing that it had been so long since anyone had shared a meal with the four of us at our table and that it might be a long time before that even happens again. I know I miss my friends and family on a whole new level. When I agreed to preach this sermon on courageous friendship, which would have been before lockdown, we were still living our normal lives. So much has changed that I wondered if this was even a relevant topic to us now. But the more I have thought and the more I have prayed, the more I see that this is exactly the time to talk about friendship. While there is that ache in our hearts, while our whole social network is turned on its head, I suspect that on a normal Sunday, back in the good old days of Fleming Fulton School with our giant emoji, this topic of friendship would have landed very differently with different people. There would have been a few people in that hall who would have felt that deep longing in their hearts for friendship, the absence of friendship. But now we all feel a measure of it. So it's actually the perfect time to consider friendship and what the Holy Spirit might want to say to us about courageous friendship. So let's pray. Father, I thank you that you made us with this capacity for friendship and community. We take a moment to acknowledge that this season has been really hard. We have felt all sorts of emotions. And one of the things that we have felt is a longing to be with people. And so we give you that ache in our hearts right now. We give you our Zoom fatigue and our frustration of only seeing people on screens. We give you our loneliness. We give you our disappointment for events, gatherings that had to be canceled or postponed. Jesus, thank you that you are a faithful friend to us in the midst of all of this. You are not on lockdown. And so we say this morning that the door of our house and the door of our heart is wide open to you. So would you come and fill that space? Come and presence yourself with us in really tangible ways. And for those who don't know you as a friend yet, I pray that you would reveal yourself in powerful ways. For those who are new to this friendship, we pray a special blessing and a protection over them. Spirit, would you move in us this morning, encourage and strengthen us, give us open hearts and minds to hear your voice. Open up today's scripture to us. Thank you that your words are life to us this morning. We receive your life. Amen. Last week, Alan preached an awesome sermon on David and Goliath. We saw the tremendous courage of this young lad, David, to go up against a giant warrior. It seems to me that fighting Goliath was actually pretty straightforward compared to the complexities that David faced later on in life. For instance, one-on-one with Goliath may have actually been easier than leading an army against another army, or being hunted by Saul, or being king of a nation. David's challenges continued to grow throughout his life, and he required courage for each of the giants that he faced. But how does David continue to draw courage again and again? Obvious question, right? Yes, the correct answer is God. It's like those Sunday school lessons where the right answer is always Jesus. But there's another way that David accesses courage. Friendship. The life and the story of David also reveals the power of friendship. David had at least one friend who spoke courage over him, who believed in him, who saw the call and the anointing of God on his life, who stuck by him when things were really dark. So we're picking up from last week. After David kills Goliath, Saul takes him to stay with him. And there he meets Saul's son, Jonathan. David and Jonathan hit it off straight away. 1 Samuel 18:1 says, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. Perhaps a better way of translating that phrase is that Jonathan is attached to David with an inseparable devotion. Like Samwise Gamgee in Lord of the Rings, Jonathan becomes a very close and loyal friend to David. Yet on paper, David and Jonathan's friendship is a bit unexpected. Jonathan was a prince, and David was a shepherd boy. David would not have expected the prince to reach out to him in friendship. And equally, what compelled a prince to choose a shepherd as his bestie? Did Jonathan realize that David would be taking his place as king? It's not clear. At some point, Jonathan will have realized that God had called David and not him to be the next king. Talk about an obstacle to friendship. And yet, even this did not get in the way of Jonathan's devotion for David. Perhaps it's worth asking ourselves, what friendships are we rejecting or missing because it's not who we think we could or should or want to become friends with? Are we open to the friendships that God has for us? Jonathan then makes a covenant with David. I really don't think we have a category for a friendship covenant in our culture. We are so uncomfortable with commitment that perhaps this seems a bit odd. But it's a way of saying, I'm committed to this friendship. It is a binding agreement, and one that we see both parties faithfully hold true to, even when it becomes dangerous to be friends. This covenant is not just for David and Jonathan, but for the generations to come. After Jonathan dies, David shows kindness to Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. Do we think about our friendship in terms of the legacy for our children and our children's children? This friendship is compelling and powerful. So let's drill down a little bit into what we can learn from this friendship. I have three observations that I think are significant for us now, especially during lockdown. First is the synergy of courageous friendship. David and Jonathan are both incredible people in their own right, but together they are unstoppable. Together they change history. What we see here is the synergy of two courageous people. On their own, they are powerful and influential. Together, they are able to do far more than they could ever accomplish on their own. It is clear from Scripture that friendship in itself is a gift, but part of that gift is being able to participate together in God's mission in the world. Jonathan and David loved each other deeply, but I think one of the reasons why they were so close and why they had that inseparable devotion is that they were also inseparably devoted to their God. I remember when young Andy and Alan, first went to visit Duluth Vineyard to look at their food pantry. They were full of vision and excitement when they came home, and they wanted to do something like that to serve the poor in Belfast. But when they arrived back, they continued to hear people saying to them, that will never work, we don't need that sort of thing in Belfast. And so I think it was really important that they went out together, that they heard that together, that they shared that vision. They needed to support one another through all that negativity and through all the unbelief that they faced when they came home. And look at Storehouse now. Isn't it amazing what God has done? There are countless of examples of this sort of thing throughout our community. What good does God want to bring about in and through your friendships? We might be on lockdown, but God's mission in the world cannot be locked down. And because of that, we can, with great confidence, remind each other of our callings. We can still dream together. We can still partner in prayer. We can still speak courage over one another. A couple of weeks ago, I was really struggling with a sense of purpose. Maybe you've experienced that as well. What if you reach out to a friend and ask them to pray for you, someone who has known you for some time and can remind you of your calling and your purpose? Maybe you used to serve in a particular ministry, let's say hospitality or kids ministry, and you miss having that place in the community where you fit and you have purpose. What if, in the meantime, you take up the ministry of encouragement, of speaking courage over people? This ministry never runs out of work and never gets old. You can remind the people in your life of how God sees them and the things that God has called them to. The second thing that I have observed about the friendship between David and Jonathan is that courageous friendship overcomes. David and Jonathan faced really tough times, but Jonathan and David are able to rise above and resist the jealousy, the anger, the suspicion, the insecurity, the fear that was all around them, even in their own families. Their friendship is stronger than all of that. Their love for one another prevails. Here is an example of the sort of challenges they faced in life and in friendship. 1 Samuel 19, 1-7. Saul told his son Jonathan and all the attendants to kill David. But Jonathan had taken a great liking to David and warned him, "My father Saul is looking for a chance to kill you. Be on your guard tomorrow morning. Go into hiding and stay there. I will go and stand with my father in the field where you are. I'll speak to him about you, and I will tell you what I find out." Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, "Let not the king do wrong to his servant David. He has not wronged you. What has he done? What he has done has benefited you greatly. He took his life in his hands when he killed the Philistine. The Lord won a great victory for all Israel, and you saw it and were glad. Why, then, would you do wrong to an innocent man like David by killing him for no reason?" Saul listened to Jonathan and took this oath, "As surely as the Lord lives, David will not be put to death." So Jonathan called David and told him the whole conversation. He brought him to Saul, and David was with Saul as before. This seems like a tremendous breakthrough, and it is. Unfortunately, it's short-lived. Imagine the disappointment when the reconciliation does not hold. Chapter 20, we see this. Then David fled from Naioth at Ramah and went to Jonathan and asked, "What have I done? What is my crime? How have I wronged your father that he is trying to kill me?" "Never," Jonathan replied, "you are not going to die. Look, my father doesn't do anything great or small without letting me know. Why would he hide this from me? It isn't so." But David took an oath and said, "Your father knows very well that I have found favor in your eyes, and he has said to himself, 'Jonathan must not know this, or he will be grieved.' Yet as surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, there is only a step between me and death." Jonathan said to David, "Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it for you." So then they agree a plan together. David will not show up for the new moon feast that Saul is hosting. As expected, this greatly offends Saul. And so, just as they anticipated, it exposes Saul's murderous feelings towards David. In his rage, Saul hurls a spear at his own son. Maybe, like Jonathan, your family relationships are far from stable. Maybe they, too, are volatile. Maybe you struggle to see how you could have a friend given the hurts that you carry. I want to speak a special word of courage over you today. Jonathan's family is indeed a mess. His own dad tries to kill him, and yet Jonathan is still able to rise above all of that dysfunction. He was still able to forge a meaningful and reciprocal friendship. And so I want to speak hope over you today. If you are living under the shadow that your past has cast over your life, you too can have meaningful friendships. I need to add here that if for some reason you are unsafe in your home during lockdown, you can reach out to us at pastoral@belfastcityvineyard.com if you need help. In my journey as a pastor, I've had the privilege of seeing so many people healed and set free. What an honor. These people are some of the most courageous people I know. And even in my own life, any steps to freedom have required great courage. To reach out to someone, to confess sin, to apologize to someone. Those things are giants, and it takes a great deal of courage to face them. We don't know this from the text, but my guess is that both David and Jonathan had some inner work to do to overcome the words spoken over them in their own families. Never mind the enemies, the Philistines that they battled. Perhaps they found great healing and strength in confiding in one another as friends. Who do you confide in? Who do you talk to? Do you keep your inner life on lockdown, away and hidden? Or do you have even just one person, even your spouse, that you open up to? For many of us in lockdown, we are finding that some of our stuff is coming to the surface. If you are feeling trapped in your house with your own demons and patterns of sin, perhaps it's an opportunity for freedom and for healing. Friendship is a gift to us in these times. In times of sorrow and suffering, times when we're in great pain, friendship is such a gift to us. I love this part of the story of David and Jonathan in 1 Samuel 20, 41, and 42. David got up from the south side of the stone and bowed down before Jonathan three times with his face to the ground. Then they kissed each other and wept together, but David wept the most. Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord is witness between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" Then David left and Jonathan went back to the town. This is true friendship. Jonathan is there for David in the good times and he weeps with him in the dark times. Jonathan not only speaks courage to David, but he weeps with him. Speaking courage over our friends sometimes looks like laughing with them and celebrating their wins, and sometimes it looks like weeping with them when things have gone very dark. This is a dark time in David's life, and he really needed a friend. He needed a courageous friend who wouldn't give up, even when his own father hurls a spear at him, or when David goes into hiding to avoid being killed by Saul. God is still in the business of bringing people together in friendship, in marriage, in community. And it's not just about companionship. It's about his light in the darkness. It's about his desire to see humans flourish. It's a signpost for the time when all things will be made new. It's about a way of life together that overcomes the jealousy, the hatred, and the fear. Without Jonathan, as we'll see shortly, David literally may have been killed. In true God-given friendship, we see triumph, the good triumphing over evil. We see flourishing of humanity. We see the ending of conflict, and we see the fulfillment of God's promises and plans. The third thing that I think we can learn from these two amazing guys is courageous friendship is creative. There's a fabulous little tidbit in chapter 20 where David and Jonathan have to be creative in how they meet together because of the danger that they are in. Jonathan says to David, chapter 20, "I will shoot 3 arrows to the side of it as though I were shooting at a target. Then I will send a boy and say, 'Go find the arrows.' If I say to him, 'Look, the arrows are on one side of you, bring them here,' then come, because as surely as the Lord lives, you are safe, there is no danger. But if I say to the boy, 'Look, there the arrows are beyond you,' then you must go, because the Lord has sent you away." Meeting in person became dangerous for the two of them. They might have been killed. So they had this idea to shoot arrows to indicate if it was safe or not to approach one another. David hid out of sight and waited for the signal to say that it was safe to meet. In short, they found a very creative solution to connecting to one another when things were difficult. Last week, Alan invited us to ask God, "What is our bread and cheese?" If that doesn't make sense to you, then go back and watch his amazing talk from last week. So today I am asking, what are your arrows? Maybe it's as simple as a text message, maybe it's a phone call, maybe it's a bag of food, maybe it's a prayer, maybe it's a song. Maybe it just seems like a really small thing, a small arrow. But it could be life for the person receiving that arrow. So many of you are doing this already. I couldn't have made it through the last few weeks without the text, the phone calls, the encouragement from so many of you, reminding me that God is still here with us, reminding me of the call of God on my life, and reminding me that I still have friends, even though I can't see them. Dreaming together of the good that will come out of what we are doing at BCV is so important, and we need to do this together. And I'm so thankful for the friends that God has given me in this community and beyond who have still done that with me, even in this difficult time. These people are a gift to me. Your friends are a gift to you. Community, Belfast City Vineyard, we are a gift to one another. And my sense is that it is so much more important now than ever before. And we continue to advance God's kingdom together. I sense the Lord saying, keep firing those arrows, keep going and don't stop. Keep speaking courage, keep reaching out in friendship. Maybe you are growing weary. I know I am. That's okay to do that for a couple of weeks, but my goodness, it feels like a long time that we've been firing these arrows. David and Jonathan must have grown weary of all the obstacles they faced in their friendship, but they didn't give up and they continued to be creative. So let's draw strength from their story. Let's remember the same synergy, the same creativity that they experienced in their friendship is available to us today. It's still at work in the body of Christ today. We will get through this time, but we do need each other. So if you still have energy to keep firing those arrows, that is wonderful. Keep going. Thank you so much. Don't stop. If you're growing weary of those arrows, my word to you today is take courage, take heart, find strength in community, reach out to someone for prayer, sign up for a prayer ministry slot, sign up for a prophetic ministry session. We would so love to encourage you to keep going. You might not see the difference that you're making, but every word of encouragement, every one of those little arrows matters. You're doing so well, Belfast City Vineyard. Keep going. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you show us what our arrows are? What have you put in our hands and in our hearts that we can give away to encourage others in this difficult time? Raise us up to be a community of encouragers. I bless every member of this community, from the youngest to the oldest, to become a mighty encourager. And I ask that you would strengthen the friendships in our community. Help us to be so open to the friendships that you have for us, even now. Holy Spirit, would you give us grace to forgive those who have hurt us? Would we use this time to be reconciled and to heal and mend broken relationships? Show us how to contend for friendship and community even when it's really hard, even when lockdown feels relentless. Empower us supernaturally with courage to stand by one another like David and Jonathan did. And may our friendships leave a legacy of blessing and favor for our children and for their children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.